get settled in to worship, find our place, find our place before our seat, and we'll get going here very shortly.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, but through the fiercest draft and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground, his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his. And he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
Welcome, everybody. You may have a seat. Welcome to Grace Fellowship Church. My name is Matt Gotzel, and I will be the service leader today. This is my wife, Karen, who will be worship leader. And, yes, we have a lot of people on vacation, but we have a cheerful group right here in the midst of nice soft rain. We came in, and we have a great word coming to us from Judea, another elder, and just we want to kind of enter into this time where we realize, I hope we realize, that we are in his presence, and we have the honor and the privilege to lift up worship and to glorify him by our song, but also by our tithes and our offerings, also by our worship and our care for one another. Those are all forms of worship that we can engage in this special anointed time right now. So I'd like to do this just as a way to kind really trying to gather their full understanding of all that Jesus had brought to them and what his apostles had brought. And so this is, I want to go through and just recite this if it's possible. And can we cue it up out there? I know we all have it memorized anyway, so.
You do.
Okay. It's coming from so far back in history, it's taken a while. There it is. All right. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was born of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left us sins afraid, he washed it white as
Is he worthy? Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from coming through? We do. Do you wish that we could see it all made new?
We do.
Is our creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
It is.
Is anyone worthy?
Is anyone whole?
Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah,
who conquered the grave,
he is David's rich and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And is Jesus our Messiah home? Forever thus he loves,
he does.
Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole?
Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll?
The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave,
he is David's root
and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave.
For every people and tribe,
every nation and tongue,
he has made us a kingdom, a priest to reign with the sun.
He is worthy,
he is worthy.
A blessing and honor and glory. Is he worthy? Is he worthy?
Is he worthy of this?
He
is. Is anyone worthy?
Is anyone whole?
Is anyone able to break the seal
and open the scroll?
The Lion of Judah,
who conquered the grave,
he is David's root and the Lamb
every nation and tongue. He has made us a kingdom, a priest of God, to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy?
Let's just proclaim his worthiness in the way that you've seen this week, things that you have felt by the Holy Spirit, things that you have just witnessed. Give testimony just in prayer of how you are proclaiming, how you see his worthiness.
We're going to do Build My Life next. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me Jesus, a name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Show me
preface something. We don't need to sound an alarm every time we hear teaching that is not accurate. If we are constantly correcting, constantly getting after, let's say, people outside of the church, people who are not believers, if we're constantly correcting them, we're actually going to push them away, right? We want to speak the truth, and when the Holy Spirit prompts us, we do want to correct false teaching. Where would be a place where it's important to make sure we're correcting bad teaching? Family? Where else? In the church. Who in the church is responsible for identifying bad teaching? Everybody. That was kind of a trick question. I thought maybe you'd say the elders. That's their job to correct false teaching. And if you look in Scripture, that is actually one of the job requirements, is to be able to teach and correct bad teaching. But the reason God calls elders to do it is to demonstrate to the body, this is how you do this. Not that, oh, just bring the false teaching to us and we'll correct it for you. No, we're all supposed to be able to identify bad teaching and to be able to correct it to whatever sphere you find yourself in. Maybe it's simplest way to describe the gospel, but so many then and now, we feel like we have to do something to earn or to keep God's favor. We want to say, it can't be that simple. The gospel is not simple. It is actually very complicated. However, our part in it is simple by comparison to what Christ has done. So don't add works to the gospel. Specifically, they were adding the work of eating certain foods or not eating foods. And Paul tells us what we eat and drink is not going to make us any closer to God. Jesus said it's not what comes into the body, but what comes out of the body that defiles a person. We're told in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, we are saved not because of our works, but because of righteousness, or not because of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy by the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit. This new covenant has very high standards, but these standards are internal instead of external. The Jews were worried about doing things and not doing things. And Jesus is worried about your heart. This is how you can actually do the right thing and still be wrong. You can do the right thing for the wrong reason and still be in error. Because God cares about our heart. He cares about where we're coming from. He cares about what our motive is. Just as Jesus' teaching is unchanging, the devil's primary tactic doesn't change either. He loves to get believers wrapped up in false teaching. You can still be a believer and believe false teaching. It's a tragedy because it makes you less effective. It damages your testimony and make it harder to share your faith with others. I want you to think about it. Teaching that resembles the truth and sounds plausible, that's the kind of lies the enemy loves to throw at us. Half-truths, truths that are not far from the truth, or lies that are not far from the truth. The defense against us is that we need to know our Bibles. Consider this. A professing atheist, if he came in here and said practically anything, we would say, no, I'm not going to listen to him because I know he doesn't believe in God. The enemy knows that. He's going to bring you somebody that looks good, that's charming, that sounds like they know what they're talking about. A lot of false teaching comes this way. And I also want to say this. Not all bad teaching is intentional either. We tend to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I often you'll hear this verse referenced, but they'll only reference the one portion of it. They'll say, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can resist the devil all you want, but if you do it apart from God, he's going to beat you every single time. Sorry to tell you this, the devil is more powerful than you are. We're told that the devil roams around like a lion seeking to devour who he will. I want you to catch something. Like a lion. Seeking to devour who he may devour. Jesus, the Lion of Judah, that's the lion we need to worry about. The devil prowls around like a lion. He's a faker. He copies. He gives bad imitations. Sometimes close enough that we fall for it, but he is nothing compared to the true lion. So, how do we do it? First, submit yourself to God. He has to be the boss. Read your Bible. What it says matters. Let the Word of God change your heart. Do not go to the Word of God and say, I'm going to make it say what I want it to say. When people gather scripture to try to argue their point, we call that proof texting. And when you take verses out of context that they were in scripture, you can use Bible verses to support a bad idea. So you always want to look what comes before a verse and what comes after so you can understand what was going on to make sure that you're using it correctly. Paul tells us don't be unequally yoked or don't be bound to unbelievers. This means choose your friends carefully. Are we allowed to have unbelieving friends? Yes. In fact, I believe if you don't have any unbelieving friends, you're going to find it harder to be a witness. But are they your closest friends, your best friends? Are they the people that you go to when you need advice or encouragement? I hope that those people are Christian friends. Because if you open your heart to someone, you want to be able to trust that they've got your best interest and the glory of God in mind when they share something with you. Amen? We're also told in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that we have been given everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Through the work of the Holy Spirit and through the work of the Word of God, we actually have everything we need to live this life. I just want to quickly hit what I kind of gathered six habits for keeping our eyes on Jesus. This is not an exhaustive list. There's a lot of Bible verses I could have added here, but it's not like I have a whole lot of room in that one frame to put them all there. So, number one, and in no particular order, but stay in the Word. We're told in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, if you abide in my Word, you are truly my disciple. So if you want to be a disciple of Christ, and you want to protect yourself from false teaching, you must intentionally abide. Abide means to live or to dwell. So be in God's Word. Not once in a while, but frequently. Meditate on Bible verses. Memorize where you can. Listen to it. Whatever you got to do. I have known some kids that try to sleep on their Bible, but I've not seen osmosis work yet. How about prayer? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and he will guard your heart. Stay actively involved in church. And I would say actively involved. Don't just come once in a while, and don't just be there, but find a way that you can use your gifts and your talents. Engage with the people that are here. Get to know them. suffered outside the city gate. Verse 13, so let us go outside the gate. Let us be willing to suffer as he suffered, suffer his shame. We do not, for here we do not have a city that lasts, but we are looking to a city that is to come. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. And these two go hand in hand. It's important for us to understand those two concepts together. If I were simply worried about dishonor for a child of God to be the world's favorite. It is a very bad sign to hear a wicked world clap its hands and shout, "Well done," to the Christian. Far be it for us to seek a crown of honor where the Lord found a crown of thorns. We want to be careful of the drift away from good teaching. 6 habits for keeping your eyes on Jesus. Bless you.